Welcome to the Hours podcast. Myself and Mark are going to do something really special today. We are going to do a 16 action bracket, and we are going to do a single elimination tournament to get to our favorite action. This is coming out of our building out the RDS offensive course. We're going through the action layer, and so you're going to help us build this live. And by help, I mean you're going to listen. But please do drop your comments down below, any actions you think should have made the cut for the top 16 actions that one could run in offense, and any that you think should have won out. Mark, you got the backwards hat on today. Tell us about that.
I figured it was like casual Thursday today.
Even though this is on Thursday, publishing on a Tuesday, casual Thursday.
Casual Thursday.
Yeah. Is that a camo hat? Just want to clarify here.
No, it's not. It's a little surf shop hat. Got at the beach.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Check the hair day.
Okay. Right. Here we go. No, I like the hat. Okay. Let's do a quick mini bracket. We're going to go vacation spots for a four team bracket, mini spots. Vacation spots. What is your number one seed for ideal vacation spot? You said beach, so I didn't know if beach would be your number one.
I'm going beach. I'll go beach.
Okay. My number one is going to be urban nightlife.
Okay. Like you're saying, like big city.
I want to go like Dubai, New York. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I say beach because I just like the vibe, not because I like the sand.
We're not arguing right now. Okay.
No. I'm just qualifying. I'm not like a huge beach guy.
Well, you made it your number one seed.
I know. But I enjoy a beach vacation just because like the slow pace, wake up, drink coffee, sit on the balcony, get the iPad out, head to the beach for like 5 minutes, come back, get something good to eat.
Beach is a one seed, urban nightlife is a one seed. What's your two seed that's going against urban nightlife?
I'll go like a European vacation. Like give me like Italy where you can hit a few stops.
Like museums, historic, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, eat different food, several cities, that kind of deal.
Okay. I'll go two seed versus your beach. I'm going to go family theme park vacation. Any one of the theme parks, think Disney or anything comparable. Okay. Here it is. Your side of the bracket first, Mark. You going beach or family theme park?
Beach.
Beach. I am also going to go beach because family theme park is actually my version of hell. And so I'll go beach wins out there. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it. They sacrifice for the kids. But what's interesting is the kids like the idea of the theme park more than they actually like the experience of the theme park.
Yeah.
Which is pretty similar to Christmas. Okay. On the other side of the bracket, we've got urban nightlife, very adulting, versus European museum food, which is also very adulting. Which one are you taking on that one?
I'm going to go urban nightlife.
I'm also going to go urban nightlife. Okay. So now we have the championship. The championship is like urban nightlife. We're thinking like rooftop in Dubai. There may or may not be casino and gambling involved, probably like just a high end steakhouse. Some good EDM music. All right. So I met someone recently. People can't wait to get to the actions, but I met a person recently that was just like, oh man, I'm going to this EDM concert. Do you want to come? And I'm like, I cannot think of a worse way to spend.
Speaking of versions of hell.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and then he said, he's like, yeah, the concert starts at 12:30 AM. And I'm like, what? All right. Anyway, this was an adult. All right. So we've got urban nightlife v beach. Where are you going?
I'm going beach because just the chill, the relaxation part.
And I'm going to urban nightlife, which were both of our number one seeds. Comment below, which would you hang out in? All right. That's the synopsis of what we're about to do with actions.
I got a question for you. You said something about theme parks.
Okay.
Kids like the idea of it, but don't actually like the experience as much. What's something in coaching that coaches like the idea of, but actually don't like the experience of as much as they thought?
It's having lots of sets. like, I think coaches love the idea of having a big set and playbook, but in actuality, they don't love it. So what we actually discovered via ChatGPT that if you only had five actions and five formations, there are actually over 3 million unique variations one could create out of five actions and five formations. That's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. Did you come up with five and five? Was that just random, or
five and five was just a random number that Edward threw out. Then I did a quick ChatGPT thing. And so, like, you know, basically if there's infinite five actions and infinite five formations, and any individual program selecting any five and five, there's over 3 million different options there. So, like, you're going to have a very unique look with just simplifying yourself to five formations and five actions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I asked the question because the Pirate, Mike Leach, football coach, genius, RIP, he was notorious for saying we run five plays out of five different formations. So he's like, so it's really easy for us and really complex for them, which is like exactly what we do. Like, we're building a new offensive system, RDS, combining race and space, drive and space. And a lot of it is like, God, as I'm putting the course together and like we're mapping this each week, it's like, this is really, really simple, but very difficult to guard just because it's really well spaced. You got really good ball movement. There's a high clarity in your actions and in what series you're in. So yeah, I was curious if the five and five came from that, or, and maybe Edward, like you said, knew about it, or if it was
Did now.
Yeah.
Let me just plug this. Like, all right, RDS, race and drive in space, is the best offensive system ever created. And here's why. And we talked about this last week. There is no other offensive system that I'm aware of that isn't, to use the language you used last week, that isn't built to break. It's actually built to teach. So it's the best offensive system because it's actually going to develop you as a coach into a great teacher. And why? It's a pick your own adventure offense, and it helps you go through the journey as you select your actions, you select your role identification, you select your shot selection. But we make sure that you are trained in order to know your why, so that when you run into an opponent that takes something away, your offense doesn't break. Your offense is anti-fragile, and you can adapt it because you build your own offense. Whereas nearly every other offensive system that I've learned or been aware of, it's like, do this, then do this. And you don't know why you're doing it. So that's why I love it. And so this process we're going to go through today is a process I would encourage every coach to go through. It would be a fun thing to do with your coaching staff. And for those of you that don't have a coaching staff, just do it with your wife or your husband or your spouse, and select your top actions. And that will help you have a deeper knowledge of it. So what we're doing today is Mark and I are going to do a 16 action bracket, our 16 favorite actions, and we are going to do a single elimination bracket all the way down to be able to rank our actions 1 through 16 and have our number one action, which then would be the first action that we would teach in our RDS offense. You should do the same, and then you will kind of know your action series. You'll have your top 1, 2, 3 to start to implement and install if you wonder what action you should run. Did I articulate that accurately, Mark?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So here's how we're going to do it. Mark and I are going to generate 4 1 seeds and why. We'll explain the actions, and hopefully you help identify which actions you might want to run and understand a little bit more about actions. So let's begin. We're generating 16 actions right now. We're going to go with our 1 seeds first. Mark, do you want to share the bracket so we can populate it visually for those watching on YouTube?
Yeah, let me see.
Bam. Wow. Boom, right there. That was really good. Yeah, that was ambidextrous. You had one finger snapping, one finger clicking.
That was lefty too. I've been developing that left-hand snap.
Lock left. All right, Mark, you get to go first. What would be your number one overall seeded action?
I'm going to go with fan.
All right. For those listening, just give them the log line 20-second description of fan.
Yeah, Fan is an action and rose series that when you pass guard to guard, everybody's going to move to one direction like a ceiling fan. So Tyler and I are in the action spots. I pass right to left. I cut right to that corner, which bumps everybody over. It's great to counter switching defenses, pack line defenses, which most coaches reach out asking how to beat those. We play out of boomerangs there, and then that could also be a trigger to get into your next favorite action if you wanted. So I love the versatility of Fan. Ended up being our bread and butter really everywhere that I've coached over the years.
Yeah, and just for vocabulary for any newer listeners, we're talking about actions right now. You'll hear us reference series as well. Series are just a way that we group actions that share a trigger. And that's all it is. And so we're talking about actions on this one. Maybe you would then organize your actions into series, and a series of actions shares some sort of trigger, either by a person, an area on the floor, a certain type of a pass. And you can also have an action trigger a series of additional actions, and that's how you can layer your offense. But that's the difference. We're talking just about single actions. And again, to zoom out, right, in RDS, in our offense, space comes before advantage. Advantage comes before shot. Now we have our space. If we are neutral with no advantage, an action gets us into advantage, and the advantage would then get us into shot. So we would only run an action when we're neutral. As long as we have an advantage, a space, a numbers advantage, we would not run an action. So this is what we do when we're neutral against the defense. All right. So my number one action is going to be fingers. Fingers is also, can we put that on the opposite top right of the bracket, actually? Yeah. So yeah, perfect. And then we'll alternate and put our actions against each other's actions. So fingers is also grouped into rows series, triggered by a pass between action spots, also known as slots. And it is a X cut, is a cut across the paint to the opposite porch block corner in order to create a triple wide gap in the wake, confuse the defense, generate some sort of a pseudo rub screen to allow you to get downhill. I love fingers because it's simpler than Fan. When I go and install, we always install fingers first because it requires less teaching. It's a little bit more natural. It requires really only movement by two players, whereas Fan requires movement by five players. And that's why I put fingers over Fan. I know they're not fighting yet, but they might make it to the final. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be a good battle.
It's going to be a good battle. Okay. All right. Your two seed, which would then be that lower one seed, I suppose.
I feel like I should put mine over here, right? So mine are not going against each other. So I'm going to go step up ball screen.
Oh, man, that was high on my list.
I love a step up.
You want to give them a quick...
Yeah, so a step up can be a couple different things. It can be your post is already lifted, you swing the ball, and then that post steps up just a couple steps into a ball screen. Usually it's an angled ball screen, whether it's like flat or kind of angled to the side. I love a step up. If you watch basketball today, many offenses are running this where when the ball goes across the top, which we wouldn't do because that's Rose series for us, but we have other triggers in RDS to get to the step up. Your post is sprinting out of the porch or the dunker spot into a flat ball screen. And I love that step up flat ball screen because your players don't have to go east-west in order to create advantage and then go north-south. We just get north-south right away. Typically, it creates drop coverage. So you have your racker going downhill at X5, who's slower, can't move laterally, able to snake it, get to the middle of the floor, corner burn, all that good stuff comes out of a step up.
Perfect. Okay. I might be cheating a bit here, as while this can be an action, I prefer that it's just a principle. But I'm going to put this into our action tournament because it's so rarely a principle in most offenses that I observe. And so I'm going to put burn. A burn cut is another term. It's a term that we use here for back cut. And the trigger for a burn would be neutral and guarded. So if we're ever next to the ball on offense and we're in a neutral situation and we don't have an easy wide open pass, it should trigger a burn. And that burn then triggers movement, very similar to the fan action, triggers movement. It also opens up a driving gap. It also opens up usually an advantage catch if someone blasts into the space that was just vacated by the burn. So I would have burn as an action until it's a read, and then maybe move down. But I would say that in installing this for thousands of teams, one, fingers is used most often. Another principle we teach at Savvy is get good at what happens most. What happens most is in transition, we don't generate an advantage or a shot. And so we need to create an advantage quickly. And fingers happens more often than a burn. But the very next most often thing that I've observed is the necessity of a burn. You are either open or you're burning. That is a principle. And so if we could implement that as our action, it's going to create additional closeout catches or advantage catches.
Yeah, I love it. I would consider burn an action too. I don't think that's stretching too far.
Okay, thank you.
All right, two seeds. We ready?
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe this one's a two
seed. I think yours would go under fingers. Yours would go on the fingers bracket now, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can't believe this made it all the way to the two line. This is like the Selection Sunday snub. Zoom action, man.
I know. It was burn or Zoom.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to just quickly define Zoom and then we can chop it up?
Yeah, a lot of people call Zoom as Gits or Flash Game. I've always referred to Zoom as what people refer to as Git Flash Game. Some people call Zoom what I call Chicago, which is pinned down into a dribble handoff. So Zoom is your five flashing, or other players could flash as well. Most commonly, we feed our five flashing somewhere inside the shell. And I like to run these out of gray areas, meaning not exactly the elbow, not exactly the top of the key. We want to be somewhere in between because defenses don't traditionally practice guarding against gray areas. So I feed, and most people just call Zoom as going to get the ball, a hand back, or some people call this tag, throw and go. So I'm going to feed Tyler inside the shell, and then I'm going to chase my pass and get a hand back. So it's a stationary handoff. I like to unlock other options out of that Zoom, so we're not always going for a get because we don't want to be predictable, and not all of our players can play out of that effectively. So I like to unlock two more options. We can get it, split it, or cut it. So Zoom is a great way to get some off-ball cutting and screening, which I think the best offenses diversify how they're going to put pressure on the rim. So Rose series is typically your drive and kick game. Now we unlock Zooms, which gets us a handoff with advantage or the opportunity to cut and screen away from the ball. So we're just kind of adding some variety or being multiple in there.
Beautiful. I'm going to save any comments on Zoom until we get further into the bracket. I'm going to go with my next action. I'm also surprised this one lasted this long. High ball screen. You can call it high if you want. Just a high ball screen in the middle of the floor to create an advantage for your best ball handler to attack in space.
Was having a conversation with our former director of operations yesterday, and he said offense 1 year was get our racker in a high ball screen and no one could stop it. So simplicity wins, I hear.
Simplicity wins.
All right.
Well, the only way never mind. Yeah, we'll wait. Thank you. Carry on.
All right. I can't believe this one didn't last or didn't go earlier. I'm going to go ghost screen.
I know. That was another one that I considered.
Gosh, I'm going to put it against burn down here. Okay. We all love a ghost. Here's why I love a ghost is you are disguising a cut as a screen. Right, it's like you're rolling into your pop. You create indecision in the ball screen. I will say I like them better at higher levels than lower levels because at higher levels, ball screen coverage is diagnosed and they get into it faster. So you can actually take advantage of them getting in the coverage faster because they read ball screen, but you actually don't screen. Similar to slipping any kind of screen that you'd run on the perimeter.
At lower levels, the defense is so bad they don't even recognize what's happening, and they just stay puppy dog to their player.
Kind of turns into a fingers cut.
Yes. Which I will just distinguish in teaching, like fingers cuts and ghost screens should be opposites. A fingers cut should be down and bad fingers cuts turn into cross. And a ghost screen should be up, and a bad ghost screen turns into cross. Like, that's where laziness creeps in, and that's the motion of the cut, or the motion of the screen. So down and up. So on a ghost screen, the ghost screener needs to get down inside the shell to cut up. And on a fingers cut, the cutter needs to cut down and not across. That's a key teaching point that I found, especially at the lower levels. All right. Yeah, this is good.
Do you want me to vamp about ghost screens while you,
I don't want you to vamp about ghost screens. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have it, but we could talk about ghost screens for 30 more minutes. All right. I'm going to go back screen. Back screen is next. Back screen is like the redheaded stepchild of actions. I feel like it's often overlooked and rarely fed.
For any redheaded stepchild listening, we don't mean any offense to that.
Oh man. Yeah, I think that comes from like Little Orphan Annie references, cultural touch point there. All right, no, I won't talk about that. So back screen is just an off-ball screen that requires us putting pressure on the rim. It's why I like the back screen more than other off-ball screen actions. We want to hunt nines first and sevens second. The downfall of too many off-ball screen actions is there is no nine cut. There is no cut to the rim for a nine. The back screen requires that someone is putting pressure on the rim on that back cut. And as basketball is a game of opposites, I love setting back screens with your best shooter. Because then if no nine on the cut, there often is going to be at least an advantage catch on the perimeter, but often it generates a seven.
Yeah, I love a back screen. You can't see it. I love setting back screens. There's just something to be said about just knocking the fire out of somebody on a back screen.
That's why I put this one here. Back screens are my favorite screens to set.
Yeah, and you're a shooter, so you should be setting them, like you said. Hard to help off a shooter. Okay, yeah. Three seed round?
Three seed.
All right, I'm going to go Stacker. Just kidding. I almost said a straight face. All right, I'm going to go.
I can't think of an action I like less than a stagger screen right now.
I know. It's just so – and look, a lot of people run staggers and run them very well. It's just not my flavor. It's just not my flavor of ice cream.
They run them well? I don't get it.
I mean,
I know a lot of people run well. Like, all staggers do is steal space. That's all they do.
And takes time to develop.
Yeah.
So then we're catching and we're going triple threat, and triple threat should be our last resort, right?
When you catch off of a stagger, it's really hard to have any sort of space to attack.
Yeah. 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 I feel like stagger is one of those things that coaches default to just because that's what action that they learned and they see a lot. So I don't know. All right. Three seed. I'm going to go DHO, but I'm going to go uphill dribble handoff from the corner or from the post. And I love an uphill dribble handoff when you can just like a short little shovel pass flip. And then it kind of turns into a pseudo handoff ball screen, which is why I love Zoom as well. Like Zoom is a stationary handoff that often turns into a ball screen. So this is an uphill DHO turns into a kind of a pseudo ball screen, but your ball handler, again, you're going downhill or north-south right away instead of a normal DHO where you're going uphill with the dribble to turn the corner and go downhill.
Yeah, and we have actually named the uphill DHO something different. We've named it a grenade. Just to be very clear, that is the type of DHO that we are hunting is a grenade. You want to blow up the defender. Hand off the ball, the grenade, and then blow up. Explode the defender. You're actually naming a grenade. Okay. Have you called it grenade as well, or is that?
I have called it a bust. And
I remember that. Yeah. We all had this conversation.
For two reasons. One is one syllable, but also I had to come up with it on the fly. And I'm like, hey, just bust out of the post or just like bust out of the corner. So I'm like, let's just call it bust for now. And then we just never changed it.
Yeah. And Mark had like a bad poker hand the night before. So it was in his mind. So, all right. Next for me, you already did step up, right? I'm flipping back and forth. Okay.
I did step up. Yeah.
See, now we're like getting out of the Power Five conference. I'm going to go.
These are your conference tournament winners here.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I don't know if these are actions, but I'll do it. I'll go ahead and go with. Can I say drag screen is different than a high ball screen?
Yeah, let's do it. Transition ball screen.
Drag. Yeah. So drag is a transition ball screen. Usually it comes from a trailing offensive player. So if there's an offensive player that is trailing behind the ball handler attempts to hunt and crack the shell, cannot create advantage. Then we drag down into a ball screen. And the one thing I do like about a drag ball screen is it really sets you up for your slips, your dives, your rolls off of it, because the momentum of the screener is already taking them down towards the basket. Whereas oftentimes a high ball screen is an opposite of a drag ball screen, where the screener is coming from inside the arc and the momentum is bringing them up. So I really do like that drag because it just changes the angles, the advantages, and it really gets that drag defender diving down to the rim.
I'm going to withhold my comments until Zoom beats drag into the next round.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. It is favored.
Yeah, it is favored. All right. We got two more three seeds. So my three seed is going to be a flare screen. I'm going to put that flare against the back screen here. Two off-ball screens.
That is going to be a good battle. Major powers.
It's going to be a good one. I love a flare screen. I love a back screen. One thing I love about a flare is I feel like people practice them less as far as defending them. And there's just something cool about a flare. It's just like a sexy action to me. You get shooters open. So easy to slip to the ball after you set your flare screen. I love an inside flare too, that Princeton made popular, that top flare or inside flare. Just was always really, really good for us. You mentioned series earlier. That was a change of series for us. We had our Rose series and then we had our flare series or our flare game. Really, really complimented each other, because as we came off the flare, if we couldn't shoot it, we drive it into a triple gap, and then now we're back into space and hunt.
I'm going to wait and tell you everything that's wrong with a flare once we battle.
Can't wait. Yep. All right, you're up. Last three seed.
This is my last three seed.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go porch. And I'm very reluctant to call porch an action. It's really more of a trigger. So let me give a little bit. Yeah, let's get a little bit more specific on this one. I'm going to go ahead and go with porch dive. Porch dive. So porch is an area on the floor that we want to play through. So we have a porch series that we run. Really love running against zone. I know a lot of members in our community, when we were talking about actions recently, they said they had a lot of success with their porch series against zones. I love the porch series against zone. Porch is also known as the short corner. When ball enters porch, defense is not very used to defending passes from the porch. You just don't practice that. And the ball's inside the shell or inside the three-point line, so it's occupying more of the attention of the defensive team. The dive is a downward cut from the opposite action spot. And so that porch dive is a way for us to get the ball in the world somewhere, you know, in the paint below the free throw line, to then create advantages out of that. So you can penetrate and hunt the world, or you can pass and hunt the world. And I find the easiest pass is to porch and dive. What often happens against zones is you flash into the high post or flash into the world. But then when we catch the basketball, our back is to the basket. You're much easier. There's more defenders behind the ball than there are in the porch and dive. And so I really like a porch dive to then create our advantage.
Love it. All right. Four seed.
One more thing on the porch and dive. On an old school flash into the high post, you generally have one of your worst passers, big player, catching the ball. On a porch and dive, you tend to have one of your better passers and ball handlers catching the ball in the middle of the defense. Okay, I rest my case.
All right, we got the last four seeds here, and I feel like, oh gosh, this is difficult because, you know, as you're kind of putting some like concepts in here or like triggers.
I know.
So now, I mean, which I don't hate. I actually it.
We shouldn't do that anymore. That was bad. That was bad.
Okay, I was going to say, because I could go two outs.
I know, but it's just going to make it stronger. So the more you put concepts like porch and dive in there, the stronger it is because you have more options. So I cheated there. It's like I went and got like a 27-year-old player that played professionally in Mongolia and brought him into my, like, you know, JUCO and faked his birth certificate.
Yeah.
I won't do that again. Okay. I got fined, and now I'm taking a sabbatical.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going against all of yours. I'm adding down up overs and two outs.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. Two outs. Yeah. I'm sorry.
All right. So I'm going to go with an action here. Gosh, this one's tough, man. I'm going to go. Gosh, it's just we're pitting them against one seed. So how are we going to? I'm going to go wide action, and you know what? Yeah, I'll go wide action. I'm not going to change.
What is wide action? I don't know.
So wide action would be picture we're coming down, and instead of dragging and going into a ball screen, we're going to go pin away or screen away wide. Some people call this corver, I believe, where we're just going to go get that wide.
There's an offensive teammate in the wide or stretch
in the wide spot.
And then the dragging or dragging offensive player is in some sort of an away screen for that wide spot.
Yes, and here's why I like it is – I'm picturing you. Like if I could go get my racker, I think that's one thing, but I could also go wide action for a shooter. And then if you don't have that, so I go wide, I pin away from you, you get the catch top of the key. If you don't create advantage for shot or drive, you come right back to me. And now me and you are playing in a Zoom and you could go split.
Or playing any sort of a row series. And so like, just to kind of talk series again. So like I would call this. So if the trigger is drag, I would call this drag series. So now we have two actions out of this drag series, right? That's triggered by our dragon or trail offensive player being behind the basketball arriving in neutral. So one action out of drag series could be a drag screen. That's that ball screen we talked about earlier. Another action out of this drag series could be wide or pin, right? So as you build actions out of triggers, the trigger again being that the dragon is behind the ball and we're neutral, then you become really, really hard to guard. So that's actually an action.
Yeah, and let me go a little further on this. Difference between sets or traditional offense of you run here, then you run there, and so on. Conceptual offense is going to guide behavior, and we're going to give players choices. So what I love about series is, all right, we're in drag series, so our trail, you can go ball screen or you can go away and get into your wide. I don't care what you do because it's going to be something that we practice, but it's also going to be random as well. And conceptual offenses are quote unquote random because we don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be something that we love and it's going to be something that we practice.
Yeah, perfect.
Your turn for a four.
I love me some wide series. That's so good. Okay, I'm going to go I am going to go duck or duck in, which is basically having someone attempt to seal their defender in the smile by the rim. That's an action. Obviously, a lot of triggers for that action. I'll give three. One, same side porch. So porch, when we're playing four out, one in, often is attempting to be opposite the ball. If we get a down up over across the street or a ball reversal, that can be a trigger for the porch to then try to duck in and seal as the opponent's wall defender or low man is slow to move out of the paint. A lot of times when the ball is opposite the porch, that defender is even overloading to the ball side to provide more penetration help. If the ball moves quickly and simultaneously we're ducking in, we can get a deep seal. So that would be a duck in.
I like it. All right. Duck ins, I also like to use to invert your offense and post a perimeter player as well, especially if you're running like the five out flavor of RDS and you want something at the rim. Really good chance to pick on somebody and get the ball into them.
That was me. Yeah. And I'll just say, like, so how do you get them in there at the end of a cut or at the end of a drive is how you get them in there. It's an option before you exit. So anytime you crack the shell and kick, option before you exit, duck in. Anytime you finish a fingers cut, let's say, right? It's an option before you exit is you can duck in.
All right, my four seed, we only have two four seeds less. I just left. I added a couple actions in here. I'm going to go I got to go this one. I was going to go something off the reservation here, but I'm going to go pistol. Pistol action is where we lift our player out of the corner. We feed for what would be a zoom, right? We can throw and go or go get, and then it's typically followed by a ball screen if we don't hand it off or a flare screen. if we do hand it off. Let's be clear,
you're not, this pistol does not have all those additions to it. Those are just, right now, this is just the blasting or shooting up out of the corner.
Yeah.
I just want to know who we're playing against here.
Yeah, let's do that. That's fine. We'll go single action instead of sequence in two actions. But while we're talking about that, here's instantly make your offense better is, can you sequence or stack actions on top of each other to make defense guard two in a row? So if they guarded, let's say, the get or the zoom and they're in coverage on time, then they're probably going to be late for coverage on the second action, which might be the flare because you're catching them in between coverages. Let's say your X2 coming out of the corner has to decide, am I hedging this handoff or am I chasing the flare? So I'm going pistol. You got the last pick here. That's going to go against.
I mean, per my own rules, I don't think I can say Spain because Spain is technically stacking two actions.
Ball screen, back screen.
Right.
Now, if we wanted to go, I mean, look, Spain's not beating step up anyway. Unless, I don't know, Spain is pretty dirty.
I would argue hard for Spain would be a crazy Cinderella seed.
It would. It's like, yeah.
Okay, so there's three options here for the last seed. Spain, reject, which, again, is that an action in and of itself?
Right.
Right? And the last one here, which another kind of, I'm just going to say, like, nail or chin. High post. Which one meets our qualifications the best?
See, I call chin tap, and to me, tap was combination of back screen, flare screen.
Again, we're getting to combos of actions.
So right? We're comboing actions. Yep.
All right. You know what? Here we go. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it so simple. Reject.
Okay. I love a reject.
I love a reject, and this is a sneaky four seed because I would. So reject is basically this. Anytime you're getting a ball screen, whether it's out of a high, a step up, any scenario of a ball screen, you actually don't use the ball screen. You reject and attack opposite, and you attack opposite early before the screen is actually set. That's a reject. In fact, I teach every player with varied levels of success that you should reject first. Reject first in a game multiple times to make sure that the ball screen coverage is honest, and then when you actually use the ball screen, you'll create more of an advantage. I also think that rejects tend to work better because you have more space and they tend to work really, really well at lower levels. So a reject is just that. The screen is a distraction. We're actually rejecting it as soon as the defender leans, the on-ball defender leans, looks, whatever, or covers early. And I'll also say this. Rejecting ball screens is the best way to combat our lock left ball screen coverage. Absolute best way to combat because we weaken down ball screens. If I was playing against the lock left, I would go high ball screen on the left side of the floor and reject it early as soon as the on-ball defender jumps to make the ball go weaker down.
And then I would
the screen defender can gap.
Yeah, and then I would add a 45 burn right to the middle of the rim from the.
Well, that's for next week, and that's our chalk wars between the lock left and Mark's.
That's right.
Offense, and I don't know what I'd do. You'd win. You just win. Actually, we'd go zone. We'd have to go zone.
Whoever has the marker last always wins. All right, we've set up all these actions. We got the bracket in place. We'll roll through the second, third rounds here a little quicker.
So quick. I mean, we've really already explained it, and then it's just, do we agree on who's win? If wins, if not, you get one sentence to make your case.
Got it. All right, you go first. Top left here, fan or duck in?
Fan.
Thank you. All right. I'll go next. High ball screen or grenade? Ooh. I'm going grenade.
This is a good matchup. I'm going high ball screen, but I think the decision maker will always be the higher seed.
So high ball screen.
Yeah. Is it worth us talking about it a little bit more? Do you want to try to convince me?
I feel like a grenade could turn into a high ball screen, but I'll go high ball screen. I'm not going to fight you on it.
Yeah. And again, like, the conversation is the key. It's what you actually like. Like, Mark is going to put a grenade in first. I'm going to put a high ball screen in first.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know I'm right, but it's okay. Right. We'll keep playing.
Yeah.
All right.
And I know that every NBA team runs more high ball screens than grenades.
Hmm. Yes, but grenades are really popular in the NBA as well. They're so fun to play out of. All right.
They're so fun.
You got the next one. Burn or pistol?
Oh, I have this one?
Yes, I had the last one. Actually, cool. No. I need to get the 1v4 in this one.
Yeah.
Either way, though, I think we probably agree we're going burn.
Yeah. Okay, ghost, porch dive. Porch dive was a cheat anyway with two of them, and cheaters usually win, but not now. So we're going ghost.
Winners never cheat. Cheaters never win. All right. I'm going – do I have the fingers versus wide up here?
I think so.
Okay. Got to go fingers.
I know. I thought you were maybe going to give us an upset, but –
I can't. It's too close to my heart.
Zoom drag. Got to go zoom.
Yep. Step up, reject.
Ooh. Oh. I
mean, I'm going step up.
Okay. Although, I thought you were going to give us an upset.
I can't. And usually when I fill my brackets out, I'm all about the upsets. But these are.
The top seed wins when we disagree, but I would go reject before step up.
Gosh, step ups. But
there's an argument that reject is not an action. It's a read. And it's a strong argument. But I wouldn't make it a read. I would just tell all my players reject until it's not working.
Yeah. I like it. I love a reject, especially, we talk about like pre-contact, on contact, and post-contact weapons when talking about ball screen. Number one pre-contact weapon, just look to refuse or reject the ball screen. And if you can't, if that defender stops you, now you've set your defender up to where you actually get a really good ball screen anyway. So you should look to reject 100% of the time. So you know what? I just talked myself in. We're going reject, baby.
Okay, what player comes to mind as the best rejector of ball screens that you've ever seen play? Or just a really good one? Who did it a lot?
I'm going to take a guess here. I'm going to take a guess that Steve Nash was really good at it.
He was good. I actually think Chris Paul, especially young Chris Paul, did it more than Steve Nash. Like really, really clever on his rejects. Did an absolute ton.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another player. I can't.
Jordan Clarkson, when he's not ISO balling, actually almost exclusively rejects ball screens, which is very on brand for him.
Yeah, I thought Jordan Clarkson was the season one winner of American Idol, but maybe you might be thinking it's two different people. All right. You can do the honors here. We got back screen.
No, we have to argue about this one. We have to argue about this
one. I'll let you figure this one out.
This one is so close and it's really personnel based, I think. I love flare screens. Here's why I don't believe and teach them very much. You have to have really good passers with great vision to really utilize the advantage. It's a harder pass to make. Passes to back screen receivers are easier passes to make. I just have a massive problem with players running away from the ball on receiving passes in general, as I primarily work with youth. And I mean, I can just imagine the amount of steals we give up on attempting to hit a flare until you're really a gifted passer.
It does turn into a long pass. So you got to dribble to shorten it. And it's usually a one hand pass. And, I can see them being sniped going the other way for nine. I'll go back screen. I'm going to agree with you on a back screen because you're also cutting for a nine. So we're hunting a nine instead of hunting a seven with a flare screen.
Yeah.
All right. We're going you take fan versus high ball screen here. We're in the.
I don't think you want me to do that.
I'll take fan versus high ball screen here.
Because I would pick high ball screen, and I know that we can't have that.
Yeah, I mean, we can, but I'm going to go fan just because. Here's why. One of my favorite actions to sequence or to shift change series triggers is using fan, and that gets us into a high ball screen or a step-up ball screen. Yeah. So I'm going to go fan because oftentimes fan leads to the high ball screen that it just beat.
Yeah, and I think this is what's important. This is why it's important for you as a coach to do the exercise, because you got to coach your team, right? I am more confident that we'll turn the ball over less and get into our action faster out of a high ball screen. Mark is more confident that he can do it out of fan, and it's going to pay dividends because it's going to trigger a whole series of second layer actions. Great. We're both right. But you have to do that exercise for yourself as well.
All right. You got the next one where you got burn versus ghost.
We're allowing burn as its own action, huh?
Yeah. It's a cut. So we'll call it an action. No pushback. Although I love it.
I love ghost. In fact, like ghost would be the primary action that I would have a team run when facing a zone. Many teams face a lot of zone. Ghosts work better against zones than burns. But I think burns just open up so many other things.
All right, let's go top right bracket. I'll get this one. We got fingers versus zoom. We're going to have a big upset here. I would go zoom.
Nice.
You good with that?
I'm good with it. It's sixes right. For me.
Yeah, same. Honestly, but I think zoom, it's different. It's fun. And it opens up different things for your offense. So it's just a little bit more versatile than fingers.
Especially if you already have some other rose action in place.
Agreed. All right. You got reject versus ball screen. Both were your picks. So I'll let you go this 100% your call.
Reject. Four seed making a deep tournament run. They're going to, that coach is going to get hired by a bigger school next year.
No doubt. Fan versus burn. I'll let you do this one. I'm just going to type it in now.
That's great. I mean, I just think it's so essential to allowing us to get out of neutral. And that's the goal of an action. It's just, if you're neutral and it's the simplest way to get the defense moving and to maybe create your next advantage catch. It's simpler than fan, though fan is a better action. It has more optionality. It'll create bigger advantages. It's just harder to execute.
Yeah. And burns more, you know, like when you think of a traditional burn cut, like they turn, you burn.
Yeah.
It's a way to hunt space. And again, like, I don't think you can ever go wrong with a cut or an action that you're picking for somebody cutting in for a nine. Because, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If you cut for a nine and get it, like, it's your wide open layup that you typically get, probably even more so than off the bounce.
You will get more wide open layups off of burns and fans. Also, if your entire offense is great spacing and lots of burn cuts, and then hunting triple gaps, that's a pretty freaking good offense. You don't have to do anything else.
Agreed. All right. On the other side in the semifinals, we've got Zoom versus Reject. We just said Reject made a historical Cinderella run, and they're going to continue.
What? Oh, I'm shocked. I thought you were going to say it's over.
Well, I did. I did the old bait and switch. We're going Zoom, everybody. Zooms are...
I was here for it.
I know. I just, you know, I can't give you the satisfaction of having reject and burn in the finals. We got to create some kind of system.
Well, okay. Here's the lesson here, in my opinion. The lesson is we kind of bent the rules and put some like things that should be reads, player reads in burns and rejects. Like, we want to train our players to read these things. And these two reads almost won the tournament because they're that valuable. And so it's like, all right, reads are more valuable than actions and should come first. All right. That's it. And like, basically script something as an action until it becomes a read, and then script another action. So, I mean, I think that's the lesson here. Cause I agree, like in a vacuum, if our team could only zoom or only reject, I would have them only reject. But that's not the case. And so I'm on board. All right. We have to really battle this one out. Maybe we don't. Which one do you pick?
I would have to go zoom.
And I'd have to go burn. I'd have to go burn. So we have to argue.
All right. Argument is zoom helps you win neutral, right? It's a get out of jail free. You lift X5 away from the basket to create space. And then you've got the versatility to get on ball action or off ball action, that, and the off ball action would be split. So sticky language, when we're in zoom, you can get it or split it. if I get, now we've got our best racker getting the ball with advantage downhill. If I split, then we're opening up some cutting and screening. That could lead to a lot of other actions that we just talked about. So let's say no one's open off the zoom. We're into a grenade, or now we're going to kick and chase into a high ball screen, which then instead of taking that high ball screen, we'll reject it. And then we'll hit somebody on a burn cut for a nine for a layup. So that would be an argument for zoom, is that can open up endless it could probably open up the majority of actions on this tournament sheet. I just call it a bracket, a tournament sheet. Just want to acknowledge that right real fast.
Okay. I think the real value here is a decision-making matrix for you as a coach. And let me offer up this decision-making matrix. Three steps. Often, simple, never. Often, simple, never. Most of your decisions as a coach are going to be between two good things, not between a good and a bad thing. And sometimes two great things. And so if you could examine it through these three lenses, so often is first, what happens most, right? Prioritize that. Then we'll apply these next to these two things, right? So often, simple, which is simpler? Go with that. Which is simpler to do, teach, learn, articulate? What's simpler for you in your situation? Simplicity wins. It's the S in savvy. Never. If you could never do one of these things, which hurts more? If you could never burn or never zoom, which hurts you more? Okay, let's go through these. Let's go through these here. Which happens most in a game? In games, burn or zoom, Mark?
I think this one's probably close. I feel like burn's going to win the other two. Maybe not. I don't know. I think this is close. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is close, but I would like it to be burn. Like, burn. I feel like the sign of a good for me. Again, this is all for me. It doesn't matter. Like, this is an exercise. It's not about. I mean, I know both Mark and I are competitive here, but I think ideally in an offense, burns happen more than zooms. Second, simple. What's simpler to teach, execute, learn? And I would argue burn is simpler because it requires one player, whereas a zoom requires two players. Any individual can choose to burn at any given time. Open rim, back of the head, not open, whatever. Again, this is my argument. And then lastly, never. Mark, if your team could never zoom or never burn, which would you choose?
It would have to be zoom.
Yeah, you would never zoom. So by that criteria, that's why I think burn wins here. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm going to put it in. I will say I could make an argument for zooms being simpler because I do think burns have. Now, if you're talking about a burn as just like a back cut, like I'm going to dribble at, burn you, then like that's pretty simple. But the nuance of when do I burn, how fast do I burn in the space or do I burn to the rim? I think there is some but there is some nuance.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really important point you made. And I would, not for this competition, but really just for coaches, I think it's important because I would not confuse simple with easy.
A lot of things are simple, but not easy.
Right. And burns are a great example of it. Very, very simple, but not easy. And this is why Mark, I believe, argued that zooms may happen more because of how burns are not easy. We're begging players to burn. We were begging players to recognize they've got open rim or back of the head or that they're not open for a pass. We're begging it. It seems simple, but it's not easy. That's why we have to teach it so much, rep it so much, learn it so much. So on that point, I think it's just like important for us to recognize it, just like shot scale, simple but not easy.
Yeah.
And as savvy coaches, we want to embrace, seek after, and teach things that are simple but not easy because that's what wins. If it was easy, everyone would do it and it wouldn't help you win. And so that's really what we're looking for. That's the holy grail. That's the golden fleece. That's the the Golden Snitch. Anything else? Any other?
Golden Goose.
Golden. A lot of gold. Yeah. There is an asteroid that is moving closer and closer to Earth with more gold in it than has ever been mined in the history of the world. I think it's something like the net worth of the gold in this asteroid is like greater than, I don't know, like the total GDP of the United States. And it's going to pass within, I don't know, accessible range of Earth. And yeah. Elon Musk is trying to put together an excursion to go and capture and mine this asteroid. I can't remember the name of it. It's probably the Golden Fleece. But anyway, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah, I think it's actually, it might have veered a little bit closer to Mars.
Okay.
Then they, but it's this is for a whole nother podcast. Maybe this would be next week's, but it's aliens, and that's all. That's all you need to know.
That's why it's varying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's aliens. Brand
all right,
gold.
All right, Mark, real quick, do aliens exist?
100%. 100%.
Okay, I'm gonna say no, they don't exist, but extraterrestrials do. But they're not alien to this planet.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Real fast, because this is a long episode. There are aliens living on Earth, extraterrestrials, NHI, non-human intelligence, or actually, I think they're humans from the way future. And this is going to get complex here. There are species unbeknownst to us that live underwater and underground on Earth. And yeah, well, gosh, we could go way further. We'll have to stop.
And I would argue that these beings are probably Adonai. Adonai meaning spiritual beings that do manifest on our physical plane.
Mm. Interesting. Well, this is going to make for a great conversation after we end recording here. So If you want to learn more about any of these actions, if you want to incorporate any of these actions,
or aliens,
or if you want to chop up aliens and extraterrestrials, join Savvy Basketball. If anything, get in here, 7-day free trial. Come take the RDS course. We're dripping it. We've got layers 1 through 5 already published. We're about to publish layers 6 through 10. It is the best offensive system known to man or non-man, or aliens, non-human intelligence. So get in here, join us, free trial, 7 days, no obligation, and we think you'll like what you see.
Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.